Good morning, everybody. And welcome to our worship here at Faith, even in the midst of some inclement weather. We welcome you to our worship here this morning. Thanks for being a part of our service today. There's going to be at least one casualty for the weather, just because it doesn't look like it's going to be clearing out in time. Our CIA, was going to have a car wash from noon to 4 this afternoon, and the weather just isn't going to clear out in time enough for them to be able to get things set up and do that. So that is officially postponed. They will announce a new date, and we'll make sure that we get information to you a little better than this one did, to make sure that we were able to support that, because it certainly is, when we get an opportunity like that, it's certainly something we want to make sure that we do support. So that will not happen. However, the weather seems to be suggesting that, first of all, whenever this rain clears out, which they are expecting it to do by about 2 this afternoon, that it will not be making a return appearance. And so our scheduled day at the Dunedin Blue Jays is a go today. We're planning right now. You don't have to meet with everybody here in the church parking lot at 3:45, but you're certainly welcome to, and then we go down as a group. We don't have tickets pre-purchased or anything like that. We're just going to go and enjoy the game. Tickets are far, far cheaper than what they would be, as there is concessions down there. So an afternoon of enjoyment that we hope you can join us for. Again, we'll meet here in the church parking lot at 3:45 and go down as a group. One of the other things we're going to be looking to be starting here in the next week or so is going to be another Shoes for the Souls campaign. It looks like, unfortunately, one of the sources that we have always used is something we're not going to be able to use any longer. One of our area Kmarts that supplies us with shoes at a fantastic price, the one up in Hudson, is closing. The one down in Clearwater, which is not far from where we're going to be this afternoon, is not. If a person, especially after the game, would like to take a look at some shoes in there that we can get to begin our Shoes for the Souls program, you're certainly welcome to do that. Now, next week at our 11 o'clock service, by the way, we don't have communion in any of our services next weekend, but next weekend here at our 11 o'clock service is a new member Sunday. It is not a large group, but of course it is an important group. And so after our 11 o'clock service, we are going to have a time of fellowship, and we certainly are looking forward to being able to do that. So prepare to stay for at least a few moments next Sunday. For those of you that worship occasionally on Saturday night, we're going to pass on a couple things to you regarding our Saturday service. Next weekend is one of the weekends where they're going out to dinner after worship, and they're going to be going down to IHOP down 19 a ways, not quite as far as Trouble Creek, but we're going to eat together there as a group on Saturday night, probably in the vicinity of about 6:30. And even if you don't usually go to that, to the Saturday service, you're welcome to join us for that time of supper and fellowship. Mocha will also have a committee meeting down there after the time of supper is finished. Then in 2 weeks, for our Saturday worship, it will not be held here unless we start having weather problems. That is the day of our one-day vacation Bible school. It's going to be over in Sims Park, and we are going to conclude the day by having a worship service over there. And as I said, if it rains and we have to move everything back here, we have to move everything back here, and then we'll have worship like we usually do. But go with the assumption, unless it's raining that day, that the Saturday worship is going to be in Sims Park. Regular time, 5 o'clock, but a wrap-up for that day's vacation Bible school. The last thing I have is just a reminder. Nico's just up the street. Through the end of August is offering a deal where if you bring in your church bulletin anytime here on Sundays, they will donate $1 to the church. That's through the end of August, and Nico's has always been a good alternative. So there's some flyers about this in Narthex number 2 if you'd like it. But all you really need to do is just know. When you go to Nico's, you want to pick that as a place to go out for dinner after worship. Make sure you bring your bulletin with you, and the church will get $1 for everybody that does that. Please let us know that you were here with the Faith Fellowship cards that are in the racks in front of you. Please stand. Our order of worship this morning is based on Divine Service Setting 4 that is in our Lutheran service book. We begin by calling to mind our baptisms. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together, as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us. Forgive us our sins and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Almighty God, merciful Father, in holy baptism, you declared us to be your children and gathered us into your one holy church, in which you daily and richly forgive us our sins and grant us new life through your Spirit. Be in our midst, enliven our faith, and graciously receive our prayer and praise through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you that your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord be with you. We pray this prayer together. O God, so rule and govern our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that ever mindful of your final judgment, we may be stirred up to holiness of living here and dwell with you in perfect joy hereafter. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Today's readings from Holy Scripture are appointed for the seventh Sunday after Pentecost. Old Testament lesson is from Isaiah 44. Is there any God greater than the one true triune God? Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first, and I am the last. Besides me, there is no God. Who is like me? Let him proclaim it. Let him declare and set it before me. Since I appointed an ancient people, let them declare what is to come and what will happen. Fear not, nor be afraid. Have I not told you of old and declared it? And you are my witnesses. Is there a God besides me? There is no rock. I know not any. This is the word of the Lord. Second lesson is from Romans 8. The Spirit helps our weakness as we wait in hope with all creation. St. Paul writes, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groaning too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. We know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 13th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. And in this gospel lesson, which is the focus of our message for today, the parable of the weeds in the field. Jesus put another parable before them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared also. And the servants of the master of the house came and said to him, 'Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds?' He said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' So the servant said to him, 'Then do you want us to go and gather them?' But he said, 'No, lest in gathering the weeds you root up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and at harvest time I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn.' Then he left the crowds and went into the house, and his disciples came to him, saying, 'Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field.' He answered, 'The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed is the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the close of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so it will it be at the close of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all lawbreakers and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ." God's love has been showered upon all of us, because he gave his Son, who died on the cross for all, that all might be able to see the light that he has given to us and the light that he has placed into us, where we too can shine like the sun. May we be that for a world that is filled with both wheat and weeds. Amen. Even as we're going to be talking about our gospel lesson, I'm going to go back to these words from our second lesson. We ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, grown inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. Now, hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. You know, friends, as we live our lives, at some point we start learning about the things that we do well and the things that maybe we don't do so well. And I certainly am no exception to that rule. And growing up, one of my first jobs was as working for a farmer. It's even possible this farmer was distantly related to my family, like a fourth uncle, three times removed or something like that. But in any case, every summer, during the years I was in high school, we had a pattern of things that we had to do. And it always started with having to bale hay, even before usually the school year was out. And it was an episode the second year I was baling hay where I hurt my back, and it troubled me until I had three back surgeries 10 years ago to finally fix the problem. But it all started with baling hay, and then we do some other things with oats and with straw and some other things. But at some point, we had to start walking beans. Now, I'd like to think that somewhere in this group here, there was at least one other person that had to walk beans. Now, they don't do that anymore. For one thing, they've got herbicides that don't kill the beans but are able to take care of some of the weeds. They didn't back then. They did for corn, but not really for soybeans. So you had to go in and walk through the beans by hand, taking out a couple of things. And I learned that I wasn't very good at weed identification. Oh, one of them wasn't so bad. One of the things we had to take out was what was called volunteer corn. The previous year, that field would have been planted in corn. And so there'd be sometimes you'd see amongst the beans corn stalks, and You just have to go in with a special corn knife and take them out, just whack them out somehow. They were taller than the beans, so they were easy to see, and just taking care of it was easy. But there was also this thing that the farmer needed to have out. It was called cocklebur. Cocklebur was an interesting little plant because it looked, it certainly wasn't beans, but it looked rather mundane. As it was growing up, but you could easily get your hands down on it and cut it off or lift it out of the ground or whatever it is that you had to do. But as it grew to its maturity, it would put forth these little burrs, and they were actually pretty good size, that would end up sticking to the beans and make the beans virtually worthless. So they had to get that stuff out. But it was small, and so the farmer sent us into the field, and that's all he told us. Take out the corn, take out the cocklebur, and he warned us. He said, it's going to be rather thick in spots. And so we started coming in, and sure enough, I start seeing these weeds, and they were thick in spots. They were about the same size as the beans, but you could see them, and it's like, wow, there's a lot of that. We were taking it out bit by bit, and as we went along, we also started stumbling into this stuff that it was even hard to see. It was way low to the ground, even smaller than what the beans were, and it would sometimes just spread itself out. You'd usually try to take a couple of rows on either side of you, but you would be just everywhere trying to take this, whatever this stuff was, out. And sometimes you would, and sometimes you just get annoyed and it wasn't, but the stuff that got in there pretty thick, we were getting every bit of it out. Well, about the third day, the farmer comes up to us and says, I know you guys are trying, but you sure seem to be missing a lot. And I'm like, missing a lot? We're trying to get everything. And at some point, we realized that what it was that we were pulling that was indeed rather thick. Well, look at the title. We were pulling the wrong weeds. Not that was a problem, but the stuff that we were pulling was generally harmless. That stuff that was along the ground ended up being cocklebur. Guess I'd never figured it out that was the stuff that he wanted taken out. And at some point, we just had to go through the fields again. And after that, then we knew what it was. But you know, as Christians, we also find ourselves where we face a world of weeds. And by the way, what I've done, now, I've got a little half sheet. If you want to follow along in today's message, you may certainly do that. I try to do that from time to time just so you can see what we're going to do. As Christians, we face a huge world that is filled with weeds. And unless we want to try to get just a little introspecting too much, we do not want to find ourselves pulling the wrong weeds. Now, back in Bible times, the problem that they had back then was a product that was called darnel. And that's why I've got there the darnel, right? Because that stuff, it looked exactly like wheat growing up. You really couldn't tell the difference. But as the wheat began to mature and the darnel matured, the darnel would form these little things on them that if they got mixed in with the wheat, they would actually poison the wheat. They would make it totally inedible. And you had to get that stuff out. And just soon enough, it started showing its face of what it really was. But it was a product that back at that time was called darnel. Now, of course, in a worldly sense, that's what a lot of life is. You can't look at God's people right away and necessarily tell, as they walk through the grocery store, who are the people that usually have got faith in their hearts, are zealous for the kingdom of God, versus those who've never stepped inside of a church and want nothing to do with it. Sometimes you can tell the difference, but we have to live in it, and we have to live with it, no matter what it is that might bring. Because that is our world, and probably as much as it has ever been before. If that weren't enough, we also have the trouble of our own, if you'll pardon the term, weediness. And our own weediness is affected by two different things. First of all, we are affected by the presence of the weeds. There's a lot of lures out there that want to try to get the best of us. a lot of things that the counterculture would try to have you say, this is a wonderful thing for you to take part of, for you to become one with. It's a whole lot more fun than what you're doing, is it not? But forget what's going on around us. Inside of each of us since Adam, each one of us grows our own thorns and thistles. Even as Adam was warned that that's what the ground would bring to him, that's what ourselves now bring to us. And it affects us in ways where sometimes we're not even aware just how pernicious it really is. And the kinds of consequences that can come off to it, because some of the things seem innocent enough. I know that, for example, I've had to do some driving through states in the last couple of weeks. And I have noticed that as a nation, especially when you get out on the open roads, the speed limits seem to be creeping their way up. Despite that, I'm as guilty as the next person. You sometimes look down at your speedometer, and even the raised speed limit isn't enough. You find yourself going in excess of that. And there's a reason why they have posted it only to a certain number in terms of safety. And that's just one example of how it is that we somehow exempt ourselves from the types of things in which we produce our own thorns and thistles. If you have ever just walked through just a patch of something, and all of a sudden you got all of these crazy sand burrs or these little things that attach from these weeds onto your socks. And now just try to get those things off your socks. They hurt to even touch them. They hurt to be on your socks. You got to get them out. And boy, they don't want to come out even in a wash machine. That's our lives. Sin has a way of, even as those sand burrs stick to our socks, sin clings to us and turns us from what should be producing delicious, able to be used 100 ways wheat into worthless weeds. So the key, my friends, is not what Christians face in a world of weeds, but what Christians must do in a world of weeds in which, unfortunately, our own weediness is part of it. Now, some of that, of course, involves us being understanding the difference between being in the world and of the world. And it isn't easy. You know, we've heard St. Paul say things like, well, now look, I've often told you not to associate with people that are going against the thing of Christ. Now, you can't do that completely. We're all sinful, and at some point, you'd have to get out of this world completely. But don't hang around such people. With such people, Paul would quote, do not even eat. And now here comes Jesus, where when asked in the midst of this parable, shall we pull up and try to eradicate the weeds? And Jesus said, no. We are told not to do that. And there's a couple of reasons why. At some point, we have to understand that as we look around God's people, there isn't a single person that we can look at here or anywhere else out there whom Jesus has not paid the price for their sins. Jesus died on the cross for every one of those people, regardless of whether they're taking advantage of what the Lord has done for them or not. And so it's important for us to be able to learn the what's, the where's, and the how's of Christian coexistence. Now, sometimes you'll pull up behind these cars at a traffic light, and there will be a bumper sticker that says coexist, and it actually has some religious symbols in it, like the real problem of coexistence is rooted in religion. And I've met some of those people, and unfortunately, when it comes to understanding about coexisting in other areas of life, they don't have a clue. It's like that's exempted from it. We always want to exempt ourselves from being able to be out amongst God's people. But that's not what we do. As we are amongst God's people, we live in hope and we live in the cross of Christ, and we take that into a world of people that Jesus also died for, because Jesus did what we could not do. We heard in the confession of sins this morning that we've heard a few times, we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition, but together as his people, we join together, looking up at the infinite mercy of God and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And then it allows us to shine like stars. Now, there's two problems with trying to shine like stars. Number one, if you live here, first of all, in a community like this and so close to a huge metropolitan area like Tampa, St. Pete, there is so much light at night. You just cannot ever see the brilliance of all the stars that are out there. No. The only way you're going to see the brilliance of stars shining is in the midst of the darkest darkness that you can find. And unfortunately, our lives sometimes and the lives of many of the people that are out there shine. Unfortunately, are seeing that darkness, and that's where we can shine the brightest, where we can show what the Lord has done for us, even in the midst of the things that we have done, the things we're ashamed of, the things we're so sorrowful for. We can still shine like the stars. And as we heard in our second lesson, it allows us then, as we await the redemption of our bodies, to live in hope. That's not a hope that we can see, obviously. Though we have not seen Jesus, we love him. And even though we do not see him now, we believe in him. And we go forth as we are waiting for the goal of our faith, the salvation of our souls. That's what living in hope really is. Living, awaiting something that we've never seen and we won't see until we die, but we know how powerful it is. We know what he's done. Yes, even for you. Yes, even for these people whose lives seem to be such a train wreck. Friends, there's a term that I heard some time ago. It's called honored failures. It's talking about us. Honored failures. Now, I want to explain that because it actually doesn't sound very good. But what it's trying to say is, look, in the kingdom of heaven, we are redeemed. We are people who have been received as Christ's own. He belongs to us and we belong to him. In this world, we're poor, miserable sinners. Failures. People who, though we have tried to keep the law of God, have been unable to do so. And yet, this ultimate group of failures has been lifted up through the shed blood of Jesus Christ to an honor that though we do not deserve it, we receive it. And so then, my friends, my honored failures, arise. Live in the light of Christ. Be those people that are going to shine like the stars to show forth that even those that would seem to be nothing but weeds can see that the Lord can turn us into an abundant harvest and can call us and them his own, his people of faith, his people to receive life everlasting. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. Friends, at this time, we're going to confess our Christian faith to the words of the Nicene Creed. It's on the screen or on the back inside cover of the hymnal. Please stand as we confess together. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshiped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Lord of all power and grace, whose eyes watch over the righteous, whose ears listen to their cries, and who is the God of all people, hear our prayers as we come before you in gratitude and praise for all you have done for us. We thank you for what is truly the daily miracles of your care and love. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. You fill our lives with everything good. Help us to realize this and to receive your great abundance with thanksgiving. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, as people who have been humbled before you, and as people who are honored failures, we are especially grateful that you have made us honorable in the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, whom you sent to be the Savior of the world. Grant that we may believe him with our hearts, honor him as our Lord, live under him in his kingdom that he has established, helping us to obey his words eagerly, loving him truly, serving him joyfully, being a part of his kingdom with the zeal that he places in us through faith. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we remember our great sinfulness before you. We confess it with repentant hearts. Do not treat us as we deserve, but forgive us because of your limitless love. Give us the light and leading of your Holy Spirit so that our lives may produce the fruits of righteousness, adding to our faith a life of goodness, knowledge of your truth, self-control in our lives, firmness in our faith, piety of mind, purity of conduct, affection for all Christians, and love for all people. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for the nations of the earth. Put down terror and tyranny everywhere. Raise up leaders who acknowledge you and your will. Bless our own land. May people everywhere pursue all that is good and put aside all that is evil. And protect and uphold those Christians who are suffering for the sake of their faith. Enable them to stand firm with the strength and courage that only you can give. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Hear, O Lord, the cries of the suffering. For all those that are going through any need, who are facing surgeries, times of chemotherapy and other medications, who are facing rehabilitation, hospice, being homebound, being alone, being in danger, being separated. Lord, we now lift up before you someone in our own lives who is in need of the help that you can give, that we name before you in a moment of silence. And Lord, as you have revealed your glory in the face of your only begotten Son who suffered, died, and rose for our salvation, grant us faithfully to eat and drink his holy supper, trusting our reigning Savior Jesus, who though unseen in his ascended glory, is here present to save us by his body and blood. Hear us, for the sake of Jesus Christ, who has taught us to pray his prayer, which we now pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The words of our Lord. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. When he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is my blood of the New Testament, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Those following in our service folders, it concludes at the bottom of page 7, the closing collect, which we pray together. Please stand. Father in heaven, you neither slumber nor sleep. In faith, our eyes are lifted up to you to deliver us. Keep us from all evil. Watch over our coming and going, and bring us into your eternal kingdom. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Receive the blessing of the Lord into your hearts and into your homes. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.